بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم، وما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. وقال عروة بن مسعود الثقفي سفير أهل مكة عند صلح الحديبية: ما تنخم نخامة فوقع في يده منهم إلا دلك بها وجهه، وإذا أمر بأمر ابتدروا أمره، ولا يحدون النظر إليه تعظيما له، وإذا توضأ كادوا يقتتلون على وضوئه، وخفضوا عندهم رأس أصواتهم عنده، أو كما قال. وبعد، most respected علماء كرام، حفاظ of the Quran عظيم، جماعة المسلمين، we thank and praise Allah عز وجل for all the innumerable favors Allah has bestowed upon us, and the greatest of all undoubtedly the ni'mah of this perfect, pure and compassionate deen, with his teachings in all aspects of life, that is the sole means of success in this world, qabr, as well as in akhirah. We thank Allah Ta'ala for making us in the ummah of his beloved Habib Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Mubarak Seerah, the life history of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many valuable lessons, for indeed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pure mercy personified for all the world's kingdoms and realms. And one great incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recited verses of Surah Al-Fath, the opening verses, pertains to this very incident. In the sixth year, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen a dream in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were performing tawaf, some of them shaving their heads entirely and the others trimming the hair. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they were elated, and especially who were born, bred and nurtured in Makkah Mukarramah, many years of separation, they would be going back. They knew that the dream of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the absolute haqq and truth. Though at this time, the disbelievers of Makkah were in control of Makkah Mukarramah, and there were hostilities ensuing. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, adorning the ihram, set out to go and perform the umrah. Clear signs in the dress code of the ihram, not carrying heavy military weapons, showed clearly that the intention was not that of being hostile or on a war footing. It was purely for the purposes of umrah, and it was an accepted principle that one and all from all around Arabia would be allowed to go and perform umrah and tawaf of the Baytullah. The Meccans had come out and put a stop. There were skirmishes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in encamped at a place known as Hudaybiyah. And this is where this great incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, had taken place. And within this incident, there are many, many lessons for us to implement into our lives. Various emissaries, negotiators of Makkah, some of them very senior, at different times had come out for discussion around the clauses of the peace treaty. When it was being eventually written, we know that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered, unable to read and write, and in that there is great hikmah and great wisdom, that they could never accuse Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of having read and studied and thereafter fabricated the Quran Azim. Another miracle in this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been described in the previous scriptures as one who will be ummi, unable to read and write. So this proved what had been prophesied in the previous kitabs absolutely true. On our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge is the greatest and the most extensive by far in the entire creation of Allah ta'ala. And so when it was being written, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was writing, when it was said, this is what is agreed between Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah, the ambassador of the disbeliever, said, if we had acknowledged that you are the messenger, there wouldn't have been these differences, so rather say Muhammad bin Abdullah. They had also disagreed on Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim being written, these great words that have great barakah and blessings. When we enter our homes, we say Bismillah before eating, before undressing. When taking the name of Allah in the commencement of good actions, it brings abundant barakat and blessings. When we take the name of Allah on entering the home, it is protected from shaitan. Before partaking of food, shaitan does not get a share in that food. And so they again disagreed. We do not know these words. Rather say a shorter form, Bismikallahumma. And to both of these, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was the scribe, could not get himself to delete Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked to show where it is written. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself personally removed that and said, write Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed Allah knows and I testify that I am the messenger of Allah ta'ala. Amazing lesson that we find. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an is sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Makkah Mukarramah as the chief negotiator from within Makkah Mukarramah. Initially Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an was chosen, but he advised that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an has greater family and tribal links within Makkah Mukarramah, so he would be a more powerful negotiator. When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu came into Makkah Mukarramah, what an amazing lesson of sincere love. They offered him, seeing that you are in, you might as well go and perform the tawaf of the Baytullah. He says, how can I ever do and embark upon that from which you had prevented Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu ultimately returned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they remarked that you probably were given the opportunity of tawaf. How fortunate are you? He says, how can I get myself to do that which did not allow the beloved of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do? Subhanallah, he says, had they allowed me, had I been as a negotiator for an entire year inside of Makkah, not just a few days, for one entire year, and they would continuously offer me, I would never embark upon that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had been prevented. This is sincere muhabbat and the controlling of emotions. When he goes for the negotiations, his host, his cousin Aban, noticing his adherence to the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in wearing the clothing well above the ankles, this is that great personality about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every Nabi will have a very special and close companion in Jannah, and mine is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. So his cousin suggests to him that such dress attire is looked down upon by them. They look at it derogatory. To them, honor is to wear your clothing as far as possible below the ankles. So just for the period of negotiations, why don't you drop your clothing, your garments? Perhaps your word will carry greater weight. Amazing lesson. The objective and the purpose seemed noble, greater weight and possibility of being allowed to perform Umrah. But there is no compromise when it comes to the Mubarak way and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala remarks that we will never forsake the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter what the reason is put forward. Like the great Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who comes into the Persian court, and as he partakes of meals, a morsel falls down. And as per the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he picks it up, removes whatever dirt there may be, and then eats it as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised. إِذَا سَقَطَتْ لُقْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ If a morsel of your food falls down, remove what dirt there may be and eat it. Do not leave it for shaitan to partake. And so he does this, and his companion nudges him that what will they think of us in the high court of the superpower of Persia? And he says, I will never forsake and leave the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these foolish people who are devoid of any kind of hidayat and guidance. While Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is inside of Makkah Mukarramah, the false rumor spreads that he has been assassinated. And this is a red line, the limit that an ambassador or negotiator is treated with respect and honor, and that his life be taken or compromised goes against all norms in international relations. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathers Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in under a tree, and they pledge an allegiance in the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Approximately 1,400 to 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were present at the time. Every one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the exception of one person who was a munafiq who had come along, every one of them pledged the allegiance. And what was this allegiance? It was the allegiance and the pact of death, that in order to avenge the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, though militarily they had not come for battle, but because this red line had been crossed, we will never flee from this battlefield until every one of us have a drop of blood in us. Let us take courage from the noble youth of the Ummah, be it in Afghanistan, who had in our lifetimes brought two superpowers crumbling to their knees with the valiant efforts of the noble mujahideen in Afghanistan. In Palestine, they have pledged that as long as there is one drop of blood left in any Palestinian, it will be given for the protection of Al-Aqsa. We say Allahu Akbar on this magnificent love and sacrifice for the cause of deen. So they said, every one of them put their hands in the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereby, by this allegiance and dedication and passion for deen, whatever is required of us, to give it for the sake and the love of Allah Ta'ala, that they pledge that they will never flee from there and give their lives for this cause. Then subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says in the same surah, Suratul Fath, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A person could not have asked for a greater reward and accolade, where Allah says, most certainly Allah Himself was pleased. And when Allah is pleased, Allah's qualities are eternal. Allah will forever be pleased with this great group. And therefore, imperative that we guard and protect our hearts, our tongues, from being polluted and spoiled regarding a single sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every one of them are guaranteed the eternal happiness of Allah Ta'ala. When Allah has said He is happy, He is pleased with them for all times to come. And never would they, as the Shia allege, had forsaken the cause of Islam after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they are prepared to give nothing than their entire lives for the sake of deen. The news then came that that was a false rumor, but that was irrelevant. Their dedication, their love, their commitment to deen was proven unshaken. And as the negotiations goes along, and it is coming to a conclusion, Urwa bin Mas'ud, a very experienced negotiator on behalf of the people of Makkah, a senior ambassador, who prior to that had gone as a representative to the superpowers of the time, the Persian Emperor Kisra, the Roman Emperor the Qaisar, to the chief of Abyssinia, Sayyidina Najashi, who Allah blesses to Islam, radiallahu an, for hosting the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in who had come, as per the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ardu Sidqin, a land of truthfulness, a king in whose presence no oppression takes place. So he had been the chief ambassador to all of the superpowers, and he comes with the final discussions on this peace treaty. Subhanallah, he says, and his objective of coming was to notice from close range the dedication of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in to the cause, because some of the disbelievers remarked that his companions will not stand around him, so exert more force. And then when he sees the dedication, he says, whether it be saliva, spitulant that emanates from the Mubarak body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in vie with one another to get it into their hands, and they rub it over their faces as a form of barakah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a mere slight command, they hasten against one another to implement it. Such is the respect and honor that they do not look directly, they cannot fixate their gaze on the Mubarak face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would lower their gazes out of honor and respect and love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, he remarks that when they're in the presence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their voices are absolutely lowered. And then he says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make wudu, كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَيْهِ, they would vie to the extent that you thought if they had to fight over it, they would resort to fighting over the droplets dropping from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from wudu. It as a means of barakah, rubbing it over themselves. So his perceptions were very clear. He comes back to his people and he says, to those who had doubts about their commitment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have been your ambassador, you know, to the superpowers, the Qaisar, the Kisra, Najashi. And then he says, I have never seen a group of followers venerating and showing love and honor to their leader as I have seen the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing to their leader. So there is absolutely no room for any doubt about the absolute and complete unwilling, unfailing dedication to the cause of Islam. So dispel any thoughts that they would forsake him and the cause of Islam. And this then culminates in the treaty, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. Now it's apparently seemed that all of the clauses, that they would not be allowed to perform Umrah for that year, this was a huge challenge against all norms of the past in Makkah Mukarramah and its traditions. They would have to come back the following year and be guaranteed a free passage to perform Umrah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in could not get themselves to come out of that ihram. Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala, beloved wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very wisely advises that you be the first, go ahead and shave your head and slaughter the animal. When they see you, there is no doubt they will follow suit. So some emulation of the Mubarak ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The peace treaty also stated that any Muslim who runs away from Madina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama and leaves his deen, there is no compulsion to return him. But if a Muslim from within Makkah Mukarrama runs away to Madina Munawwara, they would be compelled to send him back. So it apparently seemed that the clauses completely went against the Muslims. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, are we not on the truth? Is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not the messenger of Allah? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is Siddiq for this reason, that there is absolutely no doubt in whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing is directly with the command of Allah ta'ala. He says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see that we were performing Umrah, and the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Anbiya alayhi salam is the absolute truth. Subhanallah, this is unshakable iman. He says, did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specify that we would do it this year? There is absolutely no doubt that it will happen most definitely when Allah ta'ala wills it, and the next year it turns out exactly as such. And Allah ta'ala terms this great peace treaty Fatham Mubina as an apparent and a clear victory. Some commentators opine that it refers to the soon coming 2 years later, the great conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and the first steps towards it was from this treaty. But many of the great Sahaba commentators radiallahu anhum say that this clear and apparent victory was actually the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah itself, that though its clauses apparently seemed against, but when a person resigns oneself that whatever Allah Ta'ala decrees, sometimes we like something and there is no goodness in it. Sometimes conditions come, we dislike it, and Allah Ta'ala puts an abundance of goodness in it. And subhanallah, on returning to Madina Munawwara, first time ever now there was an environment of peace, coming and going easily without hostilities between Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Munawwara. And the great benefit that emanates, it was in this stage that many of those who were ardent sworn enemies of the deen of Islam, generals in the Meccan ranks were exposed to the akhlaq, the character, the beauty of the deen of Islam. And it is in this period that a number of them had accepted Islam, and shortly thereafter were part of that great army that marches into Makkah Mukarramah, 20th of Ramadan, in the 8th year of Hijrah, for the great conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So there are various conditions in life. Important under all conditions, we do istighfar, tawbah, we turn to Allah Ta'ala fervently, adhere to the command of Allah Ta'ala under all circumstances, prosperity, adversity, and Allah Ta'ala puts an abundance of goodness in that. Ultimately it is to obey the command of Allah Ta'ala under all circumstances, and Allah Ta'ala thereafter has turned this into a form of great goodness. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Great opportunity we have to show our love, dedication to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, especially via this great honor of the house of Allah Ta'ala. So inshallah, let us inshallah open up our hearts, donate as generously as possible to the masjid, the madrasa, a great form of sadaqah jariyah, with ikhlas we spend, so that whatever good emanates from it, inshallah, we will have a share of that reward. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah, hayya 'ala s-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah, hayya 'ala al-falah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله عز وجل في السر والعلن فإن الله يحب المتقين ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب أيها المسلمون فلنشكر الله عز وجل على جميع نعمه لا سيما أعظم نعمة أتاحنا بها وهي نعمة الإيمان والإسلام فإن الله عز وجل قال ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. بين الله عز وجل فوائد الرضا بقضاء الله عز وجل والدروس الأخرى في واقعة عظيمة من سيرة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي صلح الحديبية الذي شهد الله عز وجل بذلك قائلا إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين على أعدائك أعداء الدين اللهم ردنا ورد جميع المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى والمساجد كلها في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل straight in the first filling gas between shoulders just ensure that the heels are in a straight line leave no gas between the shoulders قاربوا اعتدلوا سووا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة، وزرابي مبثوثة. أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه.
اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.